This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10. That's AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 236. That is right, isn't it? I didn't check again. I should really check that sort
That's
of thing.
That's what it says right down at the right there underneath.
That here. Is that's absolutely right. No guarantee that it's the right number.
Well, I guess that's the number that you put in there. So
right.
So Phil's either wrong right twice.
Andrew's catching on here. Let's double check real fast. 236. There we go. For Friday, May 15th, 2015. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm home. I've been gone all week. We can talk about that in a minute, maybe. But not really. Oh, welcome. So we've only got four of us this week. We got Russell Holly in Maryland.
Hello.
You are a little ray of sunshine right now.
I'm basking in glorious sunlight, yes.
So I was in Miami all week. Yeah, I was in Miami and we were staying at a house on the water, a bunch of us. Basically planning the organization of our organization a little bit. We try to get together every year or two and do that. And there were iguanas out on the seawalls all week and nice. Basking. Kind of looked like Russell does right here in the sun. That was a long way to go to get there. But
yeah, but less green and scaly. And I'm not mentioning whether the iguana or Russell.
I was going to say, and that was just the iguanas. Terry Hildenrand, everybody.
Who thinks iguanas are tasty?
Really? I thought you just like raised them to...
Well, I do, but, you know, in Biscayne Bay, they need removed.
Right.
You went out there and just got rid of them, and they make a delicious treat on the barbecue.
Honestly, I saw a manatee, too, but you can't eat manatees.
Well...
Maybe once.
Yeah. You'll be eating jail food the rest of the time after that.
Yeah.
Andrew Martinick in Seattle. Do you have iguanas in Seattle?
Or manatees? No.
God, I know the answer to that.
We're several thousand miles away from any heat necessary to sustain iguanas.
This is true. Yeah. So what have you guys been doing in my absence? Did we actually publish anything on the site? And guess not.
Not entirely sure, no.
Well, we didn't do anything important because you weren't here to guide us and lead us. Point.
That's no good.
And we didn't sit around and screw around and play Destiny because the update isn't out yet.
Oh, it came out today, Russell. You turn it on, let it download while the podcast is going.
Yeah, yep. If anyone wants to know why Russell's download speed goes to crap, there you go.
And I feel really bad. I don't want to give you all Ebola after this. I think I'm going to have to call in sick.
Yeah. Take the weekend for yourself. I understand.
Yeah, you got a weekend because come Monday, I'm back on the road again. For, you know, 36 hours.
Like a band of something.
It's going to be another one of those months. Ugh. So much going on. So, I don't know. Let's start at the back end. Was it yesterday or the day before Hyperlapse? Microsoft released Hyperlapse, which it's fun. It's been fun watching people get so excited. I was playing with it a little bit on the plane yesterday. It's still one of the top stories on the site right now, which is pretty cool for that much longer. What is Hyperlapse? What do I care? Why is it neat?
So Microsoft did this thing a couple years back where they figured out some clever algorithms for capturing video at normal speeds and then speeding it up and smoothing it out so that you could capture, let's say, 20 minutes of normal video and speed it up to, like, you know, 1 minute of really fast, really crazy looking but you know, relatively smooth video. And it was like a science project in one of their research labs for a while there. And then the Windows Phone guys got it as a standalone app. And now we have the beta version of that same app for Android.
Now, isn't
it defaults to 4, I hate saying 4x. What do we stop saying times? Feels like it's a business thing. We must 5x everything. Okay.
But isn't Hyperlapse a generic name for what they're doing?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's Hyperlapse video. It's not like a new
time. Right. Because That's the one thing people have asked me about is how do they get away with that name? Because that's what it is. That's what it's doing.
Yeah. And so Instagram has a similar feature on iOS that is also called Hyperlapse, and they both function in very similar fashions. I think based on, you know, very loose comparisons, Instagram is a little better at smoothing out some of the bumps. But Microsoft's thing for Android is still pretty beta, so it's not really worth comparing them just yet.
I mean, so my understanding of the Twitter version is that it's taking in sensor data from the phone to kind of provide, you know, it provides information about how the accelerometer reads that the phone was moving and uses that data to help smooth it out. Is Microsoft doing any of that stuff either? Or is Instagram, it all in software? Did I say Twitter?
You said Twitter, Instagram. Right? Yeah. I don't actually know, and that would be worth looking up. I know that Microsoft has like a big white paper about how they got all of this stuff to work. But like I said, when I first heard about this, it was like 3 or 4 years ago that Microsoft's research labs were like, hey, we did this thing. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't bothered to go back and look since then.
Because, you know, most modern phones will do this with oversampling, you know, to help smooth things out. You know, they can all shoot in 4K, so they kind of crop in, and then they move the crop, you know, as your phone moves around along with OIS. It helps smooth it out. But obviously you need to do even more of that if you're doing a time lapse, because it can really show off jumps if you don't get the right, you know, frames all lined up smoothly.
Yeah, even on a straight road. I mean,
it definitely didn't look like it was I mean, it's almost like OIS a little bit, right? Or like the old pan and scan. There were some really good Instagram examples, I think. You know, it only works on the iPhone for Instagram, which sucks for us. But you could kind of see it when it's like a front mounted like dash cam sort of view versus moving horizontally. I was doing some on the airplane yesterday on the way home, and it looks like time lapse fine. But I think when you have that head on view, it definitely gives it a totally different look and feel, right?
And it's one of these things where, you know, video is really hard to make interesting in, you know, short bursts on mobile. You know, you can lose people's attention pretty quickly. So that's, you know, that's why we have Instagram limited to 15 seconds or whatever, and Vine loops and things like that. Something like Hyperlapse can help you show a lot more in a short period of time. So you don't have like, here's this 2 minute long YouTube video of me, you know, driving around. You know, that's not very interesting, but you could easily make that interesting into a 15 or 30 second video clip that's all hyperlapsed into music or something.
I think my stance on selfie sticks is pretty well known, and if not, I'm against them. But I will say I was, you know, it's in beta, so it's only available on certain phones. Legally. And so I was using the I had the LG G4 and the GS6 with me, and I'm sitting there on the airplane trying to hold this GS6 Edge. This is a really uncomfortable phone to try to hold like this for 3, 4, 5, 7 minutes at a time. I was just like, oh man, it's just painful at the end of it. I kind of wanted something to, you know, one of those sticks or something to hold this. Just me.
That was a wonderful story.
As long as it's not like a retractable 4 foot situation.
You could always use like a monopod, and they have phone mounts that would work on a monopod, which is really not terribly different from a selfie stick. But is Jerry holding a selfie stick? Is that what I just saw?
I'm digging around in my drawer because I've got.
I'm holding a monopod that I put a camera mount on the end.
Oh, okay.
Selfie stick.
It's a selfie stick.
It will be now.
I like the idea. I think it's cool.
It's nice a fun to, thing. It's a toy. It's definitely not something to be taken seriously, but it's a toy.
Right. It's one of those things that we're going to get tired of seeing 8-minute video clips because everybody's going to do it, but then some of them will rise to the top, and it'll be really cool.
It's kind of like slow motion in all these cameras.
Yeah.
It's cool on Instagram the first day that you know, the iPhone got their 120 frames per second slow-mo. You're like, okay. You know, 2 days later, okay, I get it. Everything is in slow-mo. Like, water is really cool in slow-mo.
I was taking a bunch, and then I was like, I'm going to stitch them all together and upload them, and everyone's going to love them. They're going to be great. And it's like, yeah, nah.
Yeah, this is the problem with video. It's a lot more involved than just taking one picture, processing it in Snapseed or Instagram or whatever, and posting it. Video takes more time and more processing power.
And the UI for Microsoft's Hyperlapse when it comes to editing things is kind of a pain. It needs a little bit of work.
There's a desktop version everybody can use now, too.
There is a desktop version that's much better.
Can make things really interesting. Yeah.
Huh. I missed that. I mean, it was fun. It was easy enough, but the phone got so hot. don't shoot 8 minutes of video without gloves on.
And for everybody saying, you know, it doesn't support my phone, blah, 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 it doesn't. This is just an early list. It may support your phone in the future. Don't get too worked up.
It's beta. I mean, I get that everybody wants it right this second, but you can't test everything at once. And honestly, I really hate seeing people sideload this stuff because you're kind of, it doesn't help.
Nope, because it doesn't work on your phone maybe for a reason. Maybe something's not enabled yet.
And when, you know, the next beta is closed and nobody gets in, that's why. I'll take my dad hat off now. My 14-year-old self is very disappointed in me right now. But I grew up. But it's fun. It's cool. It was neat. And it's neat to see Microsoft put more stuff like that out for everybody, or at least everybody in the beta.
For all the flack Microsoft gets, and admittedly from me and as well.
And rightfully so, most of the time.
Well, but they do have some great ideas come out of their developers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would not be where we are today if it was not for Microsoft.
Developers,
man, I can't believe I said that. I feel twitchy inside, but it's true.
Do a Balmer dance.
I'm not sweaty enough yet. Let me turn the heat on.
Wait till the end of the podcast. So that was fun. It was neat to see while I was gone. I'm trying to think, what else have you guys been up to? Oh, I was just reading Russell's piece. Let's talk about that. The Dell Venue 8 7000 series 7840, the world's worst named tablet.
Now with Lollipop.
Now with Lollipop.
With Lollipop. And it's so much better.
Is it?
So it was something that Phil and I both walked away from the original, like, hands-on with the Dell tablet, was that, you know, there was nothing wrong with this tablet. It just didn't feel like a complete thought. It didn't really feel like a consumer product. But Lollipop changed a lot of that. Like, the Dell software isn't all just kind of hanging out doing nothing. Some of it's integrated, which is both a good thing and a bad thing, depending on, you know, what it is you're going to end up using. But it's better integrated. The Lollipop stuff against this display is really nice. I'm genuinely happy with it. It took a tablet that I didn't mind using and turned it into something that I pick up, you know, pretty frequently now.
Yeah, I didn't hate it before, but the software was definitely meh.
I just don't know. If the software would have to be really good for me to be able to get past the weirdness of those bezels.
Well, I mean, it's the cool thing about the way that Dell set up their software is that it's very close to a Nexus experience. Yeah. You get pretty close to stock Android. What they've done with the notification tray, they've got some of the separate apps, like the My Dell app and the Dell Cast app are now integrated. So they're part of the notification screen, and you can't edit them out, which is kind of a bummer for Dell Cast because nobody's ever going to use Dellcast. You really should just give up on that, Dell. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But the My Dell thing, as far as like a quick way to get to your account and to look at device status and stuff like that, I mean, it's fewer button presses than it would be on, you know, my Nexus 9 for accessing things like, you know, how much RAM is being consumed or what my storage is or, you know, stuff like that, which, you know, the average consumer probably shouldn't need to access, but being able to do so in a single button press is kind of nice.
And the other thing we just realized today, actually, and I don't know when this happened, but Dell has started offering a 32 gigabyte version. That was another of the underwhelming things, that it only came with 16 at the time. And I don't remember if they said they were going to do a bigger one or no.
They announced that there were going to be two, and I remember because it fell on me to write up the announcement post.
Right.
I said there was going to be, and then there was only 16. So I shot them a quick email, and they just said, it's coming.
Mm.
Now it's here.
Now it's here.
It's here, and it's $30 cheaper than the 32-gig Nexus 9.
So they weren't lying or playing any games. It just, they released it a little bit later. Yeah.
As much as I hate rumors and speculation and all that stuff, I'm going to say this out loud with a big question mark at the end. So, Dell Nexus tablet?
I would love to see it because that would mean Intel. And I want to see Intel Nexus really bad. But
that would be kind of fun.
I don't think Dell is the company that's going to do that.
Why not?
Because that's outside of their focus. If they make tablets, it's kind of like to see where it can go. Right now, they're not going to make $1 billion profit on tablets. Not yet.
It's also important to keep in mind that for products like this, Dell's primary focus is enterprise.
Right.
They're not consumer focused. You know, you will probably stumble across this tablet in a Best Buy, but it is not, you know, prominently displayed or featured as a consumer device. So their target for this has always been the enterprise. And, you know, it just feels a lot more like a consumer device now.
Speaking of tablets, and speaking of Nexus 9 tablets, it got Android 5.1.1 finally. Finally!
Yep. Yay.
I didn't have to sideload it. It came in the air. That was cool.
I did have to sideload it because the Wi-Fi where I was at was not good.
Notice any real difference? I can't say yet, but
I'm really not expecting to yet. The big question for me is going to be how it behaves in a month.
Yeah.
Because I've hard reset this thing a couple times now, just because the software tends to, you know, or at least tended to crap out after a few weeks. So we'll see. And the last time I hard reset it was, what, a week ago when 5.0.2 came out and the recovery got screwed up in the process. So I never really found out quite what happened there. And I did hear, I think I mentioned that on the podcast last week, that I did hear that there was, obviously they'd spotted something right after Google said it's coming, and then it didn't come for a couple days. Mm-hmm. they'd spotted something, which happens, but it doesn't make it any less annoying.
They spotted it before they sent it out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they spotted something in the 5.1.1, 5.0.2 was still, I don't know what happened, it was annoying, but I have to imagine the vast majority of people who own a Nexus 9 are of our variety of people. You know what I mean?
I think so, yeah.
Do you find yourself still using the Nexus 9 regularly, aside from the issues with, you know, it kind of crapping out over time?
Every day.
You still are on it.
I like having a tablet. You know, I keep it by the bed. That's what I read with. It's what I spend 10 minutes here and there playing stupid games on just to let my brain relax. Yeah.
Yep, as much as it pains me that it's expensive, although maybe it's just what it should be priced, I don't want to get into the price right here. I think it's probably the best Android tablet yet.
And that's not to say I don't miss the Nexus 7 size and aspect ratio, because my 8-year-old daughter is using that.
That's my big question there.
Yeah.
I wish it were smaller and 16:10, I really do, but I will put up with it being a little bit bigger, a little bit heavier, and for me, a bad aspect ratio because of the other things it does really well.
Because I've got the Galaxy Tab S 10.4, which is just too big for me to... I mean, I just have to think about carrying that around. Even though it's really thin and light, it's still quite large. I have to think about it. But like with the Shield tablet being a little smaller, you know, just like the Nexus 7, I can toss it in my bag and I don't feel like it's there. So I find myself actually using it more. So, you know, the Nexus 9's right in the middle. It's never I've never been drawn to buying a Nexus 9 for myself, but
I was really
see from you guys.
I was really thinking about alternatives over the past couple of weeks as the Nexus 9 got worse and worse again. Mm-hmm. And what I possibly want to use instead of it. And like, do you know, I go Samsung?
I actually like the Tab S 10.4 simply because it's so thin and light for its size, and they have that really good Logitech keyboard available.
And that screen. Let's be honest.
And
the screen
is amazing. And it just got 5.0.2 or 5.1 maybe even, which is good. Kind of tones it back, similar to... It's just like what you have on the Note 4 with Lollipop on it, so... I don't know. I got the gaudy gold one that's kind of a little funky, but other than that, it's a good choice if you like a big tablet, but like I said, I just don't find myself using a big tablet that often.
Well, that's why they made the, what is it, the 8.2 of the same thing?
Yeah, or I guess it's 10.5 and 8.4. Yeah, and the 8.4 is really, really nice for, mm-hmm. especially, again, for the thin and light for its size. It feels like the Nexus 7, like it's not even there, except for it's an inch and a half larger.
I think if I were going with a 10-inch tablet, I would want the Xperia Z4.
Ooh. Yeah, also
yeah.
good.
Yeah, we saw that in Barcelona. That was nice. Sony needs to get its stuff together.
Yep.
Alex isn't here to say it, so
somebody has to represent Alex's grumpiness.
You know, I think about those choices when we're talking about 10 inches or 10 and a half inches, like that's getting up there. I have an 11-inch Chromebook too, and I do find myself reaching for an 11-inch Chromebook. It's, you know, if I'm going to put a keyboard case on the Tab S 10.5, it's like, you know, might as well just have a Chromebook at that point then.
Oh, speaking of smaller things, I saw the new MacBook this week, the one with the fancy trackpad and keyboard and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. I like that. I mean, the trackpad, it's weird. You get used to it, I think. Keyboard I liked a lot. Wasn't that crazy? The gold color was actually quite nice. But the laptop kept making this weird sound, and the weird sound was whomever was using it kept saying, "This thing is too slow!"
Yep.
Yeah, you could have just looked at the spec sheet and started yelling at that.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of...
Force Touch is super nice, though.
It was very cool.
Cannot wait for an actual real boy MacBook to come out with that stuff, because that'll probably be my next laptop.
I don't think I would, like, upgrade only for that, but it's going to be...
No, cool the other reason that I'm going to upgrade, though, is if it comes in space gray.
Fair enough.
Which... I realize are two very aesthetic and kind of childish things, but
that's okay. The darker color is cool.
Yep.
I've right, taken let's... my RE camera
yes.
and my monopod and made yes. the ultimate Gandalf walking selfie stick.
You just record yourself.
I'm really taking this to Google I.O.
Excellent.
Just strap it to your back like a flagpole.
Yeah, like you know, dune buggies got to have the orange flag. It's the perfect color.
Jerry, wheelchair hyperlapse.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
That's going to happen. Any volunteers that wants to push me like a madman down the stairs or something, just find me. We'll do it.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I promise we won't keep talking about MacBooks. And actually, we will talk about the incredible, unpredictable, unexpected Android news that dropped this week. You won't believe it. Your jaw will drop. You'll be left stunned. Up Rocks Buzzworthy. Be right back. At this point, everyone understands that in the right situations, open source software is important technology. It's useful and powerful. No one really disagrees with that. I mean, the most successful open source project of all time is a little thing called the Internet. Tim Berners-Lee put the www in the public domain. Then, of course, there's Berkeley Unix, TCP/IP, BSD Linux, Android, the Internet of Things, you get the picture. All that stuff Jerry's always telling us about. The only real disagreement is whether open source can be used in an enterprise situation to do their most important work. Red Hat has been settling this debate one customer at a time for more than a decade. They started with Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and today they certify and support application development, storage, and cloud infrastructure for every conceivable enterprise deployment. The New York Stock Exchange, DreamWorks, each and every airline, healthcare company, and telecom giant in the Fortune Global 500, they all rely on Red Hat. In fact, more than 90% of all the companies in the Fortune 500 are Red Hat customers. Why? Because they get the powerful, constantly improving innovation of open source without having to do it alone. It's that simple. Red Hat, enterprise software trusted in the world's most demanding data centers. Find out what they can do for yours at redhat.com. And we're right back. It's like we never left.
I'm kind of excited to hear this news. That I have no idea.
I won't believe what happens next.
I can't wait to click on it and share it. I'm not even going to read it first. I'm just going to share it. Can you guys guess what I'm talking about, though?
I hope you're talking about the new name for Android that everybody on the subcontinent wants it to be called.
Oh, I missed that. What is it?
No, you're the one who sent it to me.
I was the one who sent it to you.
Oh, okay. It was Russell. Russell, what is it?
Mango.
There you go. You heard it from Russell.
Which it's not, but...
Way to ruin it, Russell.
We got an email from a very lovely man who told us that the entire country of India wants the next version of Android to be named Mango.
And I think he used those words, too, the entire continent of India.
We have polled billions of people. How many billions are over there? Is it still just one?
A little over one.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not what I was talking about.
Oh. Hopes dashed.
I was talking about the crazy news that the LG G4, in fact, has quick charging, which...
too much time fooling with that. I'm done. Don't say those words anymore.
Which all of India might not have been waiting for. I mean, look, I was in this briefing 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and I looked them in the eye and I asked, I said, does it have quick charge? And the answer was a little weird. Now, every now and then you just get weird answers. Maybe something's not final. Maybe they're trying to figure out exactly how to word things. Sometimes engineers don't give PR answers quite the way PR would prefer. Most of the time, that's how it ends up, actually. And, I mean, while it was weird, it was pretty definitive. No, it does not have quick charge in the way that you were speaking of. But it does, however, charge more quickly. You know, it comes with a 1.8 amp charger, blah, blah, blah. But lo and behold, this week, word comes down from on high, from our friends on the other side of the planet, that, hey, by the way, it has quick charge. Cool.
Just
enjoy.
Just kidding.
But it...
And then Qualcomm listed it on its site as being quick charge compatible as
right.
well.
Right. So totally official. Absolutely.
But as of right now, it doesn't behave the same as you would expect from a device with quick charge. It behaves differently on different chargers.
And the charger that comes, at least the ones that we have that come in the box, are not quick charge chargers.
Right.
And these were, these are not retail, but you know, boxes or units that we have. So
no,
preface that. But yeah, I mean, here's the charger that mine came with.
Looks a lot like the Samsung quick charger.
Doesn't charge as fast as the Galaxy S6 Edge.
Yeah, and I just kept trying to figure out how we... I mean, that's... When an engineer tells you that it doesn't have something, I don't really think I need to, like, go test it to the end of the earth and back. Like, I feel like I missed something, but I had no reason to not believe what they said, right? And then plus...
I mean, is this a good study of you know, a good little experiment that we didn't intend to make on how important quick charge really is versus just having a charger that charges quicker than you expect? I mean, it doesn't necessarily seem to follow the exact quick charge spec in terms of speeds. Like like Russell said, it doesn't charge as quickly at a percentage rate as the S6 does on a quick charge charger. And it doesn't interact with every Qualcomm quick charge certified charger.
Back up a step. The version we have with the software doesn't.
The versions, we have four different ones. But that, and we didn't have a problem with it.
It's, you know, like part of me is like, oh God, we should have tested that. Shouldn't, but I mean, they said what they said and we just kind of moved on.
I think, and this is going to be kind of mean, but I think the problem that we ran into is that quick charge is super, super useful if you need to go from like 0% to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just need that quick bump to get through the end of the day. Because it's, you know, once you cross 50%, it doesn't charge as fast anyway. And I found myself with a quick charger on like the Galaxy S6 Edge, like I would hit that like once a day and have it. You know, it ended up being pretty useful for getting me through the day. But the G4, killing this battery in a day is actually kind of a challenge. So I think that probably had a lot to do with why we didn't notice.
Yeah, it wasn't as necessary.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't a bad mark against it that it wasn't quick charge necessarily. You just put it on the charger when you needed to and it charged. And most of the time... that was just overnight, and so it didn't matter if it was on a quick charger or on a 500 milliamp charger. It was going to charge overnight.
Yeah, the only way I've been able to kill the battery before I wanted it to be dead was in an area with no cell service, and I left it turned on just to see what it did to the battery.
Yeah, so, I've murdered it a couple times now traveling.
And it's apples to oranges if we compare it to the S6.
Right. Well, okay.
It turns out that a big battery is more important than quick charge.
And I mean, even with the Galaxy S6 having quick charge, I have quick charging bricks around. I also have wireless chargers, but I also have non-quick charging bricks that are just, you know, tablet chargers or whatever. I don't go searching out the quick charger. If there's a 2.1 amp tablet charger sitting there, it's going to charge pretty darn quick anyway, and it's going to be okay. It kind of shows how valuable it is. I mean, it's a nice to have more than a necessity, I think.
I think I speak for all of us. We don't mean to say quick charge isn't a good thing. If you're not one of us and you don't spend all day sitting at a desk and you're somewhere and you need to get your phone back up and running in 15 minutes, quick charge is beautiful. It's great.
Sure. It's great for that from 2% charge. That's where it gets most effective. It's not good for top-ups. It's not good for, you know, 70% to 100. It's just going to charge the same as any other charger.
So am I letting us off the hook or no?
Well, we should have tested. We should have tested it ourselves. But if we had tested it, we would have been confused and befuddled with the results.
As we are now.
It was weird. Anyway, that was like the big excitement of this week. Woo!
I assume when they go on sale, you're going to get an update right out of the box that changes a few things and maybe will settle this quick charge results that we see.
I got one this week, by the way.
I didn't. I don't think I'll ever see one on this one.
Yeah, this Timo one I've got.
My version is the not for sale version.
Right. Maybe will.
I hope. I don't care. It was cool enough to get it a few weeks early and play with it and see how well it works. I'm not going to worry too much. It works good enough now that I'd use it for the life of the device.
I switched back to the my Urbane's been acting up a little bit, the LG Watch Urbane.
Oh, really?
I have to wonder if it's the G4 doing it to me.
Because mine's been okay. I've had it connected to a Moto X
and a
GS6.
I asked J.R. Rayfield earlier today, too. I mean, I'm just getting a lot of Android Wear crashes on it, and I got to wonder if maybe the G4 software somehow is messing with it. So I'm going to switch back to the GS6 for the weekend and see what
happens. Definitely could be. I got one, like an Android Wear is not responding when I put it on the charger a couple days ago, but other than that, it's been fine.
I had problems the first day with my 360 as well on the G4, and they just kind of disappeared, so I don't know what was up.
Yeah, like it'll either work just fine or it just drags. So I'm going to try it on the GS6 this weekend and see how that works. I mean, otherwise, I'm pretty much enjoying the watch. I think I still stand by the review and that, like, it's a nice watch. It's not that nice.
Yeah.
Maybe, and I feel like I need to temper my excitement when we first saw it in Barcelona. It's like, all right, okay, cool.
I'm just waiting to see what Pebble brings. That's what's got me excited right now because I'm not ready for my watch to do that much, and I think Pebble will fit me a lot better.
I'm really curious about just how far, because I haven't used a Pebble in more than a year now. For just almost a year, I guess. IO would have been the first Android Wear devices. God, look how far we've come since then.
Nope.
That's impressive.
But I mirror your sentiments on the Watch Urbane after I read your review before it went up, and I've been wearing it and it looks pretty nice, and I like that, you know, it doesn't look it's not all blocky and things like that like some of the first ones, but it's funky in a different way. So it no longer looks like a little toy, but now you know we're expecting a little more out of these as we get to a second generation of devices.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think's next? Because, you know, the Wi-Fi didn't do all that much for me. I get it's going to be great for some people. For me, no big deal. So what's like the next big Watch. Oh, and by the way, I spent the week with a bunch of people with Apple Watches. Well, two to be precise.
That's so
it was fun. It was fun to watch them, and for them, it's still very much a new toy, and they're always touching it and playing with it. They're like, see, look, this isn't that big a deal, and we're just doing all this stuff all the time, and I'm kind of over that a little bit, and I think I use mine much more passive.
I mean, I was traveling on Wednesday, and I realized when I was on my flight home that I had not touched the watch the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hadn't had a reason to. My phone was in priority mode a lot of the time, which, you know, when you're on Lollipop, that syncs back to the watch, so the watch isn't vibrating every time I get a message either. I had checked the time with it a couple of times, but I hadn't interacted with it to respond to any messages or look at any updates or anything like that, because I knew when my, you know, I knew when my calendar events were. I knew what I was doing. I had my phone on me, and I was using my phone, and I had a computer in front of me the rest of the time. So, you know, it was kind of interesting to think about that, you know, once that kind of honeymoon period wears off of, yeah, okay, look at all these things I can do on my watch. Now you kind of get to the general day-to-day use where you really don't interact with it that much.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see. We got to give more than a month.
No, right. You need to decide today.
Yeah. But I definitely think that they could, somebody who's not, you know, maybe used a Pebble, but even that's a stretch in the general public of having used a previous smartwatch before they got the Apple Watch. You know, give them 3-4 months and see if they're at that point as well, where it's the watch you wear and it shows the time. And then, yeah, you do a couple things with it every once in a while, but you're not sitting there interacting with it the whole time during the day.
Agreed.
Yeah, how easy it is for me to do this. The launcher didn't scare me as much as I thought it was going to. You know, all the tiny little app dots. And the display was a lot nicer than I thought it would be, too.
I just got a kick out of the fact that 6 months ago, Google said that a launcher on a smartwatch was a really bad idea, and then they put one on it.
Yeah, I worry a little bit about how much more they're going to put. I mean, so it's not like it's where
launcher is. I like the fact that it surfaces the things that you have recently used, so you're not always scrolling through this alphabetical list. I still you'd greatly prefer that to the big grid of, you know, honeycomb of icons in the Apple Watch as far as hunting and looking for them.
Obviously, yeah.
Two very different visions of how you need to launch apps.
I just worry about it getting more complicated, and that's really easy to do.
In 6 more months, you'll be on the Pebble train with me. I'll save you a seat.
I think the thing I didn't like the most, there's a lot of text going on.
Yeah.
On that thing.
And an Apple Watch?
Yeah, a lot of small text.
And a lot of buttons. A lot of little buttons, like, you know, interface, back, forward, new, you know, compose buttons like you'd see on a phone.
And from what I understand, it suffers from the same thing Android used to, whereas the back, in air quotes, button doesn't do the same thing every time and doesn't do what you expect it should do.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, that's really an issue on iOS apps as well.
Yeah.
When you don't have a general, you know, you don't have a hardware back button, you don't know what that button in the interface is going to do, because every developer defines what that button does.
Right. And Apple will get in there and fix that. I mean, version 2 of this watch is going to be a lot better than version
1. Yeah, whether it's with a gesture or a certain button or whatever.
The display was a lot nicer. What's the metal strap that with the magnets, the Milanese? That was actually pretty cool. I still don't like the way everything meets at the lugs. It's still, it's kind of not quite like the, like this, where it's still that chunky. It's more like, it's kind of more like the original, what was the first LG watch?
More like a way to make it proprietary so only Apple-approved bands can be used.
Yeah.
It actually is very similar to this G Watch, where it kind of comes off and then gives you just a basic lug. But then the thing is, the lugs are the part that separates this, you know, this, the whole lug separates from the body to switch out to different band styles.
And that's that's not to say there's not a place for that. I mean, look at the Zen Watch. It's very
big lugs.
Yeah, it's very obvious lugs going on here, but it's also kind of part of the design. So, I mean, all in all, it's not the world's worst looking watch. It still just looks like a display. I think the Zen Watch to me looks a lot nicer.
Well, and you know, and the Apple Watch doesn't have a true ambient display option, so it really does just look like this dead piece of technology when it's on your wrist. There's no way to have a watch face on it all the time.
And it's still early and expensive.
Uh-huh. You know, that one with the band you're talking about, that's a $200-something band option, or $150 or $200 band.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Phil's talking about having his choice of, you know, $75 metal bands to add to his watch.
Yeah, I mean, this was a $70, you know, bracelet for this, and it makes the whole thing feel more like a bracelet. And, yeah. And
you can, I think, punch my Moto 360 like band was like $30.
Right, yeah. So even Phil, the most expensive watch and a pretty good band as a percentage of the watch is in for $425 there, where you're talking about $700 to $800 for something similar on the Apple side.
And it's certainly a very nicely put together smartwatch. I mean, there's absolutely no denying that.
You wouldn't expect any less.
Yeah, definitely. So there was that. Let's take one more break, and when we come back, we'll answer some Q&A questions. So if you haven't gotten them in yet, you got a couple minutes to do that. Oh, look at all those. We will dive through them. Anything else we can think of? Jerry, you got 2 minutes to figure out something. Ready?
Yes.
Ready?
Go.
Go. All right, we'll be right back. Alright, enough from us robots for a minute. It's time to talk about Ex Machina. It's the provocative new sci-fi thriller that has audiences and critics seduced all over the place. Manola Dargis of the New York Times calls it a critic's pick. It's a futuristic shocker about men, the machines they make, and the women they dream up. I'm pretty sure I've had a few dreams and nightmares like that myself. Peter Travers of Rolling Stone declares, "You've never seen anything like it." If you've yet to see this one, it's the story of a programmer invited to his big boss's house, and, well, I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but it's beautiful, it's sexy, and it's kind of a really cool spin on an old sort of futuristic robot story that we've heard before, but never quite in a way like this. Take a few hours this week, take some time off from your job, go see it. Ex Machina in theaters now. Okay! We're just burning through these?
Yeah,
I mean, answer them methodically.
Let's start from the bottom.
Okay. Does the G4 seem to overheat like a lot of the G3s did, asks Heather.
Mm-mm. No.
Define overheat. If it shut off, then it overheated. If it got warm,
I don't know if it got warm.
The G3 could get pretty warm when you were like playing a game for a while. And honestly, I've played... I'm still pretty addicted to Vainglory. I play that on the G4 and
haven't heard.
Each session of that game is like a half an hour long. And I usually play for about an hour and a half. And it's not uncomfortable by the end of it. So it definitely doesn't get warm like the G3 did, but it's worth pointing out that I have the leather back, which is going to insulate some of that.
Yep.
The plastic one may end up getting warmer on the back.
Mine gets uncomfortably hot if I download a lot of stuff. Other than that, no, you don't notice it. It might have a spot that's a little bit warmer. But, Phil, it's just like the Nexus 9. You know that one spot it gets really hot if you work the network?
Yeah, and it's right.
That's the same thing.
It was right up here somewhere.
Yep, right around the camera.
I felt it the other day, too. I think it was after... I spilled something on the leather. Oh, that's no good.
Ooh. Woo! On Android Central, there's a whole post about how to clean a leather back with
that. That's true. You can also not eat Chinese food near it. Would be a good idea. what was I saying? I think it was when I did the update the other day. You know, it always gets hot. It's rebuilding apps and stuff. What is it doing? Somebody remind me again when you're optimizing apps.
What word am I looking for, Russell? It's not dexing anymore. It's rebuilding the app cache. So it can run on the runtime faster.
Yeah, so we're dealing with an ahead-of-time compiler now, and part of that is grabbing all of the bits that make it work and putting it out in front so that it knows how to launch those things before you actually push the button to launch the app is the simplest way to describe that, I think. There may be a
simpler way to.
No, it's a good question. It's something that
I ask you guys like once a year, and then I forget.
Yeah.
Mark wants to know, will we get the chance to review or spend time with the Oppo R7 that comes out on the 20th? That's a very good question. We should.
The R7, that's Asia only? Or is that the one for the West? I forget.
I don't remember. I
have to say, they're not really on my radar.
We'll take a look. We should.
Somebody will tell us.
So many good phones over there that we just... I mean,
yep.
We've had one Oppo in before, I think.
Yeah. There are just so many hours in the day, and you know how we prioritize things. That doesn't mean they're not good. You know, when Richard takes a look at the Xiaomi stuff, he gets very excited, and it's fun to watch. But yeah, we tend to focus on the U.S. stuff. But yeah, we should take a look. Totally. Here's a different question for a change. Is it still a good time to buy a Z3 Compact, Jerry? Oh, and look at that. He's winking at you. Is this the one who bought your Z3 Compact?
It could be. If you don't do what I do for a living, yeah, the Z3 Compact measures up very, very well to the phones that have been released this year. Better in many departments. But I had to part with mine because it's not new anymore, and I don't need to write stories about a phone that was released in the middle of last year.
I couldn't remember if you told me you were selling it or not, because I think I saw it. I saw you had it in the forums or whatever. Yeah.
But it's the one phone that every time I pick up one of these bigger phones, I wish I had it back. I think that answers the question better than anything else. I wish I still had it.
Fair enough. Anthony asks, recent versions of iOS have started to allow you to do some substantial video editing, and I find myself a little jealous. Which Android manufacturer has the most powerful, in quotes, video editing capabilities, or why doesn't Android have stronger video editing? It's really good. You remember, was it back in Gingerbread that they started giving us video stuff and yep. just kind of like...
They actually put editing tools in the gallery?
Yeah.
Sony's video editor is probably one of the best, but it still doesn't measure up to, you know, anything that's on iOS. I don't know why no manufacturer has spent the time... Android's capable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's certainly capable. I just don't know why nobody has spent the time or money to include it.
I have zero desire.
But a lot of people...
But that's me, yeah.
And I could see somebody that really wanted to edit video on a Nexus 9 or Andrew's big mm-hmm. Samsung tablet that, you know, the market probably is there on some level.
It was back when my wife was still at the paper, and they were finally getting everybody smartphones, and they were all expected to shoot and edit and publish straight from the iPhone. And you could do it. And I was still using iMovie at the time on the Mac. And, I mean, you could do it, but it was just, man, well, I wouldn't want to edit video on mobile for a while.
If somebody would release something as powerful and easy to use as iMovie for Android, it would be a hit. I don't know why it hasn't been done, but that's not going to help somebody who wants to do any serious video editing.
We don't have anything that's as powerful or as simple as iMovie on the desktop for things that aren't Apple.
Nope.
I mean, let's be perfectly honest.
Apple has that market cornered very well.
Colby wants to know, how do you win an iPhone versus Android argument, making Android win?
Does Android have to win?
I think
depends on the question, I guess.
You make a little arena, and you put them in there, and you just let them fight.
I mean, if you have the phone that you like and it works, then Android already won.
Like those two roommates that beat the bejesus out of each other.
Perfect.
And had to go to the hospital. That's not how you win.
I've never understood when people are like, "What? You let your wife use an iPhone?" I don't let my wife do anything. That's not really how that works.
This isn't Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
It wasn't an argument per se, but my wife moved away from the iPhone when she first used the M7. So let the other person use whatever they want, and if they see something they like better, maybe they'll switch. I don't have stock in either one of those companies. I don't care.
And just remember, if they come over to Android, then you have to help them with their technical problems.
True that. Actually, that's kind of why I like what a lot of family members are using a different platform. Like, I don't know. Go ask my brother. Go ask my wife. Go ask my kids, actually. They're pretty good at it.
Tell them to ask Renee.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go to iMore. Go ask iMore.
Lots of helpful stuff there.
No, I mean, give him Renee's personal number and say, yeah. Call Renee. Tell him Phil sent you.
Every now and then, Shane and I will call him in the middle of the night. Not the middle of the night, but you know, late at night. Renee, how do we do this? Corey wants to know if anyone's going to see Mad Max this weekend.
I am not, but I really want to. I'm way too busy this weekend.
I have a bunch of Queens bounties to do on the PlayStation. I cannot leave the house.
Roy asks, Android TV and the Nexus Player is 6 months in. What is your impression of that part of the platform so far, and what would you say it most needs heading into I/O in the next 6 months? Is it still early in that space, as is often said? I fear it's not. Yeah, I mean, it's not like anyone's inventing new technology here, right? You're presenting digital stuff on a TV.
And, you know, I still have a Chromecast, and I've been completely capable of buying a Nexus Player this entire time, but I continue to just use the Chromecast.
Yeah, also, I mean, the Chromecast is going to be more than enough for a lot of people when it comes to video consumption, but there is actually an answer to this question as far as the stuff that's coming next. I guess I wrote this a couple of months, or I guess it was a month ago now, for the stuff that Google is planning on having demonstrations of at I/O this year, with the multiple device as controllers in the living room, where the Nexus Player ends up being the hub, and then you use your phone as the controller for the stuff that's happening. And I think that is going to be a huge thing, because that's something that you see a couple of developers try to like cobble together for the Chromecast, and it really just that poor little stick is not really designed to do that, and so it fails more often than it doesn't. But the Nexus Player, especially for stuff like Beach Buggy Racing, and some of the stuff that they're gonna have demos of at I/O that I'm kind of jealous I'm not gonna get to mess with until later, is where this platform is heading next, and I think it's gonna be really cool stuff. They're moving not just towards video consumption, but also towards this kind of multi-device focused gameplay thing that we've seen bits and pieces of from Chrome experiments and stuff, and it's all gonna come together for Google TV, and I'm excited.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Google Cast has the potential to be amazing and monstrous, and I think they're going to run with it this time rather than just tease us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of here. I've had it. I've had, Jerry, you've got a Nexus Player. I mean, I've had one here in the office and in one of my house since they came out, and like it's just kind of there. And if I want to play some games on it, I can play some games. I use it all the time to watch movies and listen to music and stuff.
My the ADT1 that I have doesn't do HDMI CEC like the Chromecast does. So my Chromecast is the default in the living room because I can just push a button and it captures, you know, the HDMI input, and you know the TV automatically flips everything to that. But if a compelling option comes out within the next couple of months that includes that feature, then I would be really excited. I think that the one that I'm really looking forward to is the one from NVIDIA, mainly because it'll let me, you know, stream stuff from my desktop, and that may be a silly gimmick or it may not, but you know, even at just a replacement to my Chromecast, and you know, kind of a step away from the ADT1, I'm kind of excited by that one.
And I mean, it's cool that it's going to be integrated in Sharp and Sony TVs as well. But you know, people aren't buying new $1,000 to $1,500 TVs all the time either. You know, instead, you know, pay a couple hundred bucks and you can add this box that, you know, can still stick around when you upgrade your TV later.
Right.
All right, let's fly through some more of these. We got a lot. In the long run, how much is the jewelry of smartwatches going to be balanced with the disposable nature of tech? Replaceable innards, perhaps? There's an interesting idea. Some sort of, like, you've got a round watch face where everything is right behind it. You pop it in the body.
It's just, see that way too clunky.
And being $10,000.
All right, I've been down on that one.
No, I mean, it's a great idea, but it wouldn't be very difficult and expensive to implement.
We're already having troubles getting to technology like that with Project Aura and a phone size thing, and it's already pretty clunky. You're talking about, you know, the LG Watcher Bane is big. Think about trying to put that and have it be modular in something that small.
Eric says, how incredible is it that Russell has a Virtual Boy in the background?
super incredible, especially when I use it and it makes me more blind than I already am, because that's what happens when you use
those. That's that red thing back there, right?
Yeah. That was like the first of the virtual reality things.
I think I used mine for about an hour before I sold it to the kid next door. I couldn't deal with that thing.
The migraines that this thing causes. And what's even better is that the one game that I have for it that still works is Tetris.
Oh.
Such a pain. Like, I turn it on every once in a while. I use it for like 10 minutes. I go, yep, I remember why this failed.
Pick one. Note 4, GS6, Nexus 6, M9, G4, or Moto X? Russell.
G4.
Jerry.
Nexus 6.
Andrew. Come on.
Galaxy S6, I still think. Just because it's actually something small enough to hold in your hand.
I'm going to say G4.
Yay, we win.
All right.
I picked the Nexus because it's future-proof for 2 years. So blah, it wins.
Esteban wants to know, do you think there will be two Nexus phones this year, one around 5.7 inches and the other one around 5.1 inches? Those are very specific sizes.
That is very specific. It's almost like you got that information from a rumor somewhere.
No, I don't think there will be. And that's all I'm going to say.
One phone and one tablet. Purpose.
Traven wants to know any other I.O. predictions, wishes. We'll save those till next week.
Just because. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. We'll do that. Which phone has had a great second life for you? An update or an app that made it so much better that you went back for it despite it being older? For me, it was the M8.
The M8 was definitely like that for me.
I used the M8 a lot longer this year than I expected I would.
Nexus 4 represent.
The Dell tablet for me, like I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun to use now.
It's a good question. Ben asks, with the LG G4 camera reviews highly favorable and additional camera APIs with Lollipop, it's time for Google to put some more focus on their stock camera software. Hell, we've been saying that for years.
Yeah, I mean...
But I think Google's thing, though, is here's a functional and easy-to-use set of camera software. Visit Google Play if you want anything better.
And yeah, and I think my answer for that...
Go ahead, Phil.
No, you go ahead.
LG is never going to use that stock camera software anyway. They're doing their own thing. Samsung's doing their own thing. HTC is doing their own thing, and they're all dramatically different, and they're all so much more powerful. I mean, the idea, like Jerry said, the idea on a Nexus phone anyway is, okay, here's a basic camera interface, and Motorola is very similar. And, you know, the idea of the API is that you go buy the camera app for $8 from Play Store that does something more if you want it.
But I don't think Google does a good enough job conveying that to the user on the device. We know that, and there are plenty of camera apps that you know say that. And the Google camera app is okay, but it would be nice if there was something there for Google, you know, even if it's just like when you're in the Play Store or something, you know, some kind of banner somewhere that says, you know, get more out of your camera with these things.
Yeah, that's kind of how Windows Phone has it with the camera lenses. And,
right,
you know,
yeah.
It makes it very upfront to you that you have the camera, but then you can get all these other modules inside, and that's definitely surfaces it a lot more. And the problem is, before Lollipop, even right now, it's such a crapshoot when you go look at a camera app, you know, what can and can't it control on your phone, and how powerful is it actually going to be? Is it, you know, going to be a net positive over the processing that the built-in app has? And that was not helping the situation either.
Dan says, Android Watch looks like a solution in search of a problem. What would you guys want to see Watch do? I completely agree. Less, but better.
You know what I would really... Silly. This is going to sound really silly. What I would really like my Watch to do is all of the things that the Amazon Echo does.
Ooh, yes. Echo's getting really
good. My Watch can do half of the things that the Echo can do as fast as the Echo could do it, or even close to as fast, my watch would be amazing. I'm like really starting to feel the itch for the Amazon Echo, especially with smart lights in my house.
If you can get it for $100 with Prime, do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
I want everybody to get together and decide on one set of standards. So I have a button on my watch, and it can either start my car or open my garage door or turn on my coffee maker or turn on the lights in my living room, or automate my life everywhere. That's never going to happen, but that's what I want.
Well, and really, there's no reason that it couldn't. If your wrist acted as a Bluetooth beacon, which it obviously can, then, you know, it could happen. It would just require a lot of things talking to one another, which we might see in a couple of weeks.
Why you ruin my lead-in?
What do you know? What do you know? That's a good place to stop, I think. We didn't get to your question. I'm sorry. A lot of good questions this week. That's awesome. Very cool. Okay.
I was corrected. Somebody corrected me in the comments. The beach buggy racing thing that I was talking about already exists. Yes. I'm going to go lose my entire weekend. All of my plans are canceled.
Russell just got the flu. Feel better, Russell.
Good job calling me out on that, Jason Lee.
All right, now I'm sticking a fork in it.
Done.
We are done. Coming up, so Monday, if you have yet to listen to this podcast, Monday might already be gone. Monday, we have the Asus event in New York City. That's the Zenfone 2 North American launch. I shall be there. Russell might be there, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to try. The trains are still, unfortunately, in need of desperate repair after the terrible accident that we had this week, and so getting there is going to be a little complicated for me, but I'm going to do my best.
Cool. We got that, and then we got the rest of the week, not off, but home. And then the week after, we head out to Google I.O. There's all sorts of stuff going on the week after that. It's getting a little insane. We're going to be at Computex this year, by the way, which is going to be nuts. Alex is going to Taipei.
There you go. Tell people where Computex is. That's cool. That cool part.
Taiwan. I'm a little jealous.
Alex, the Brits are going east.
Much as I love, you know, being home, I also love traveling, and that sounds cool. So we got a lot coming up. So going on. I'm so excited. It's going to be fun. As we are every week, brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Go buy things. Go buy all the things.
Just random things, like cool things that are actually fun to use.
Could these also be random things, though.
You can buy random things.
Buy like 6 cases and juggle them, and then send me a video. I would laugh. It would
pretty
be good.
Sure you can buy a selfie stick at Shop Android.
No, I've never looked.
Don't promote that.
I'm looking.
All right. Well, everybody listening at home, thank you. Everybody listening live, thank you guys too. Again, sorry we didn't get to all the questions, but we got a jet. Not literally. We are off jets for 2 days. Yay! All right, so we will catch up next week. Lots more to talk about. Thank you, everybody. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Adios.